From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, the latest on what's happening in Israel and a look at the proliferation of Marxist doctrine. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. Following a tense raid on Wednesday leading to Israeli forces entering Al-Shifa Hospital, a Gaza City medical complex said to conceal a Hamas base, which violates international law, some were hopeful for a short-term ceasefire. Joining Tony on Thursday to discuss the raid, as well as the latest from Israel, was Chris Mitchell, Middle East Bureau Chief for CBN News.
Chris, thanks so much for joining us. Always great to see you.
Great to be with you again, Tony.
So there's a tentative agreement in the works regarding hostages and possibly releasing some of them. What can you tell us about that?
Well, we know right now that Hamas has agreed to this. It's 50 releasing 50 hostages, in exchange for a three-day ceasefire and for some Palestinian prisoners. Israel has not agreed to that. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has been saying all along that they need 240 hostages released, and then there'll be a ceasefire, but not until then. So this is something that there really has been talked about for the last few days, but nothing's decided on that yet.
Now, this discussion follows 2 days of Israeli forces searching a medical complex believed to house Hamas leaders. And we were showing a video clip of that earlier, actually a clip from a spokesman from the IDF showing some of the weapons that they found. What else do we know about these searches?
Well, we know they found weapons in the Al-Shifa Hospital. They also, a couple of days ago, they found weapons in the Rantisi Hospital. And what they found is just, weapons, bulletproof vests, sometimes vests for suicide vests, all of these go bags for a terrorist to grab and go and go into the fighting. So they found all of that. This is evidence, according to the IDF, that they're using hospitals as terror bases. They haven't found the kind of terror infrastructure they had hoped to, but it's still a work in progress, Tony. And we understand there's one report that says actually the staff there at the Al-Shifa Hospital, perhaps with the combination of cooperation of Hamas, has been able to remove even more evidence of them using these hospitals as a base for their terror. And according to international law, you can't actually use that kind of base, a hospital, for terror. But they found this all throughout their campaign in the last several weeks. They found, rocket launchers in a boys' school. They found rocket launchers near a mosque. They found, weapons actually in a child's bed. Even today, they found some rockets. So all this is part of Hamas's terror infrastructure woven throughout the Gaza City and Gaza Strip.
So, Chris Mitchell, let me ask you this question. Have we heard anyone from the United Nations, Secretary General, maybe condemning Hamas for violating international law and using hospitals, schools, mosques, civilians to use them as shields for their terrorist activity?
Well, I don't think we've heard that from the United Nations, Secretary General. There was a resolution yesterday at the United Nations Security Council condemning Israel, but Israeli Ambassador Gilad Erdan would just condemn that. And sadly, I think the United States actually abstained from that, which allowed this resolution to pass from the UN Security Council, but didn't mention the condemnation about what Hamas has been doing for October 7th and what it has done throughout this the Gaza City, which Yoav Gallant, the Israeli defense minister, called the largest terror base in the world. Billions of dollars have been spent, manufacturing this terror infrastructure. That's why it's taking the systematic dismantling by the IDF day by day.
Yeah, I'm well aware that the United Nations has not said anything. I was just trying to make the point, Chris. Double standard. It's the same thing we are seeing here in the United States when it comes to justice. This double standard, Hamas using civilians, women and children, to hide behind hospitals to launch their terrorist attacks. But what is the international community doing? They're condemning Israel for defending itself. So I want to ask you, switching gears just a tad bit, to the environment there in Israel. I mean, we're a month into this war. A lot of division, as we've talked about, going into this war politically in Israel. What are things like today?
Well, you know, on October 6th, Tony, we'd be talking about probably the most divisive time in Israel's history after October 7th. And here today, we're looking at probably united Israel like never before. Almost everyone here in Israel is affected directly or indirectly by this war. You know, on October 6th, many of the hotels here in Jerusalem were filled with tourists, and now they're filled with evacuees, people that had to flee either because their communities were destroyed near the Gaza Strip, or up in the north, they had to flee because of Hezbollah fighting, you know. So 60,000 people from the north, maybe almost 200,000 from the south, about 250,000 Israelis. And plus, besides that, Tony, you have almost everybody that has a son or a daughter or a cousin or a brother or sister that's in the reserves or in the army right now. So, but I would say, even though on October 6th, things were so divided, now I think Israelis, and I would say to extension, many of the Jewish people around the world are united like never before.
Well, we certainly saw that here in Washington, D.C., with the march, the Stand for Israel on the Mall this week. But from a political standpoint, are the Israeli people lining up behind and supporting the prime minister there? I mean, this is a very serious time, and the weight that's on his shoulders, I can see it every time he appears on television. Is there unity around the actions that he's now taking to protect Israel?
I would say for the most part, yes, Tony. They did have established a war cabinet, which includes Prime Minister Netanyahu, Defense Minister Yoav Gallant, and the same political party, the Likud. You also have Benny Gantz, who is the former defense minister and former IDF chief of staff. He's also in the opposition, so they are presenting a unified front. I would say there's beginning to be some political activity against Netanyahu. Yair Lapid, one of the opposition leaders, has called for his resignation. But I think for the most part, Tony, Israelis are united politically, and I would say something that we hadn't seen for a number of months. And let me add, Tony, you know, what's happened on October 7th has really shaken the Israeli people, and I would say by extension the Jewish people around the world. We talked to a Jewish journalist not too long ago and said for the first time in her life she's actually afraid. Anti-Semitism is up exponentially in the U.S. and Europe. And I think it's really a time to stand beside our Jewish brothers and sisters, to support them, pray for them, and encourage them during this dark time in their history.
Yeah, I think it's gone beyond, you know, being theoretical. Could this happen? Yes, it could happen. And we've had skirmishes, but nothing like this. Now it is a reality, and I think you're absolutely right. With that in mind, Chris Mitchell, how can believers here in the United States be praying for Israel and for our friends there in Jerusalem and elsewhere in Israel?
Well, I would say, Tony, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, as it says in Psalm 122. Also pray for wisdom for the leaders, as it says in 2 Timothy, for the political leaders, the military leaders here. You know, they're doing an incredible job in the sense that the world is criticizing them, the media in large part is criticizing them, and they have to do this while the world is watching to dismantle a terror infrastructure while protecting civilian lives, Palestinian lives. Trying to do that when the whole world is watching is not an easy task. So I pray for those wisdom, and also pray for the Jewish people around the world that the Lord would protect them and keeps them safe during this very, very serious and desperate, dangerous time.
Well, not only is it there a great cloud of witnesses, they're critics, and they're looking for a reason to criticize Israel. So we definitely will pray. Chris Mitchell, thanks so much for being up late and joining us here on Washington Watch. Always great to see you, and we'll be praying for you as well.
Great to be with you, Tony.
You can find out more about Chris Mitchell and CBN News when you visit TonyPerkins.com. You can also see all of the stories we've written on the war in Israel over at the Washington Stand. All the links are at tonyperkins.com.
For 40 years, Family Research Council has been in Washington, D.C., championing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a biblical worldview. But it isn't easy. As the culture continues to become increasingly divided, believers must continue defending biblical truth while many on the left wish to silence and marginalize Christians. Will you join us? Your financial support has never been more important. Thanks to your partnership, we can continue to reach more Americans with the important news from Washington, D.C. Equip believers to stand firm in our culture and defend biblical truth in the halls of government. Every donation we receive will go towards preserving and advancing policies for a culture that honors faith, family, and freedom. To give, text the word GIVE to 67742. Again, text GIVE to 67742.
Are you tired of the mainstream media censoring Christian and conservative voices? Are you looking for news about the most important topics of the day, presented to you through the lens of biblical truth? FRC has the answer. The Washington Stand. The Washington Stand is Family Research Council's outlet for news and commentary from a biblical worldview, covering issues from abortion, sexuality, and religious liberty, to education, to what's happening on Capitol Hill and around the world. The Washington Stand reports on the top stories affecting faith, family, and freedom that the mainstream media doesn't want you to know about. Subscribe today to receive the latest news from the Washington Stand in your inbox every weekday morning by texting TWS to 67742 or by visiting WashingtonStand.com. Again, that's TWS to 67742.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. Wednesday, after the rally for Israel on the National Mall united hundreds of thousands of Americans standing with Israel, Senate Democrats voted to block military aid to Israel, siding with their base on the left instead of the people of Israel. In response to the rise in anti-Semitism from the left, the House Ways and Means Committee held a hearing on Wednesday to examine anti-Semitism on college campuses following the October 7th Hamas terrorist attacks. Joining Tony on Wednesday to discuss it was Senator Ted Cruz from Texas. He serves on four Senate committees, including the Senate Foreign Relations Committee and the Senate Judiciary Committee. He's also the author of a recently released book, Unwoke: How to Defeat Cultural Marxism in America. Here's Tony Perkins.
Senator Cruz, welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to see you.
Tony, great to be with you. Thanks for having me back.
We'll get to your book, which discusses our universities as a laboratory for the left. But give us your thoughts on the anti-Semitism at our colleges and universities, which was highlighted by the House Ways and Means Committee today.
Well, it's an enormous problem. We're seeing it all across the country, and we're seeing it at Harvard University. We're seeing it at MIT. We're seeing it at universities throughout the country. And it's actually integrally related to the new book you just mentioned, which the focus of the book is how the radical left has seized the institutions of our nation. And it starts with universities. Each chapter of the book is a different institution that has been seized by the cultural Marxist. And chapter one is universities. And you look at, and it goes from universities to K through 12 education, to journalism, to government, to big business, to big tech, to entertainment, to science. And the last chapter is on China as a central nexus that is intertwining it all. And if you look at what's happening with this anti-Semitism, you know, I was recently talking with a tech entrepreneur from Silicon Valley who's a man of the left. He's a Democrat. And he was expressing enormous bewilderment at where this anti-Semitism on the left was coming from, and whether it's the squad in the House of Representatives or whether it is these viciously anti-Israel protesters on campus. And I explain that the answer is cultural Marxism, that if you look at cultural Marxism, the Marxist frame divides the world into oppressors and victims. And when it comes to the war in Gaza, to the extreme left, they have defined Jews as the oppressors, and they have defined Palestinians as the victims. And accordingly, the cultural Marxist supports the violent revolution of the so-called victims to overthrow the so-called oppressors. And that's why, for example, at Harvard, my alma mater, 35 student groups signed a ridiculous, ignorant, naive, and anti-Semitic statement that said every bit of the violence carried out by Hamas terrorists, every civilian murdered, every woman and little girl raped, every infant slaughtered, they said all of that is 100% the fault of Israel. Why? Because to the cultural Marxist, everything is justified in the so-called victim overthrowing the so-called oppressor, and we're seeing it literally every day across the world.
So Senator, that is a worldview that is, quite frankly, totally incompatible with what has built America and what sustains this republic.
Yes.
I mean, the two just don't work.
No, that is exactly right. And this is an assault that is deliberately aimed at taking down America. What this book does is that I try to combine, number one, to explain how and why they seized control of the institutions. And then number two, to give a clear, practical battle plan for taking the institutions back. But I give the history where in the 1960s, Marxists began infiltrating our universities. And first of all, they were plain vanilla Marxists. The oppressors and victims they were looking at were socioeconomic. It was the owners of capital and the proletariat. And their solution was a violent revolution and government forcibly redistributing the wealth. Once in the university, Marxism began to mutate, and it became a number of different variants. One of the first was critical race theory, that same Marxist prism of oppressor and victim, but instead of socioeconomic, they look at race, and they view America as irredeemably racist, and their solution, again, is the so-called victim races violently overthrowing and using government power to redistribute from the so-called oppressor races. It then transmogrified along the lines of gender and sexual orientation and gender identity. And each of these is designed. Look, Marxism, the ideas of the radical left are wildly unpopular, which means they thrive on number one, power and coercion, and number two, indoctrination. It's why the Marxists focus on schools, on universities and K-12 and journalism and entertainment, because it takes indoctrination to push this assault. And Tony, you're exactly right. It is an assault on America's free enterprise system. It is an assault on our Constitution. It is an assault on our Bill of Rights. It is an assault right at the heart of the cultural Marxist view, is that the founding of America was a moment of evil, that the people who founded America were oppressors that were oppressing the Native Americans, and everything that has flowed since has been evil. And so this is unequivocally an assault on our nation that takes patriots, it takes Christians, it takes people who are not insane to rise up and stand against it, because the objective is to tear down our entire nation.
Historically, when we look at what Marxism has done as it has evolved, as you have just described there, it has led to anarchy because it has torn down the very institutions that uphold civilized society, which leads then to more power in the hands of a few, which ultimately leads to tyranny. That's the path we're on if we allow them to go unchecked.
Inevitably, that's what it does. And Marxism, I think, is the most evil ideology that has ever been invented by man. It has resulted in more murder, more torture, more oppression, more suffering, more poverty than any other ideology in human history. And it is, look, the book starts actually with telling my family story. Tony, you know my father very well. My dad, as you know, was born and grew up in Cuba. And my father, as a teenager, when he was 14, he began fighting alongside Fidel Castro. And my dad was imprisoned in Cuba. He was tortured in Cuba. And he fled Cuba and came to America seeking freedom. And I tell that story in the beginning of the book. And I tell the story of my tia Sonia, who fought in the counter-revolution against Castro. She was imprisoned and tortured by Castro's goons. And then there's another story I tell at the beginning of the book, which is a story that my grandmother, my abuela, told me. She was a sixth grade teacher in Cuba. And when I was a little boy, she told me that when Castro and the communists seized power, one of the first things he did is he sent the military into the elementary schools. And the soldiers would go into kindergartens and first grades. And they would tell the students, they'd tell the little kids, they'd say, close your eyes and pray to Jesus and ask for candy. And the kids would do so, and they'd open their eyes and there'd be no candy. And then they would tell the children, close your eyes and pray to Fidel Castro and ask for candy. And the kids would do so, and the soldiers would quietly put a piece of candy on each of their desks. That's Marxism. It is built on lies. It's built on indoctrination. It's designed to tear down allegiances to anything, to God, to family, to anything except the all-powerful state. And that is the ideology that we are seeing that has infested the major institutions of our nation.
Yeah, I think that's beyond challenge at this point. It's here. It's evident. We're seeing it play out. So I want to get to what do we do. But before we do that, how can people get a copy of your book? Where can they find it?
Well, the book is available in any bookstore. It's also available on Amazon.com. It's available Barnes & Noble, Books a Million. It has rocketed up the bestseller lists. And so you can get it right now today. It just came out. And so I would encourage you to buy the book. It's readable. It's interesting. It's fun. It's not an abstract academic treatise. It's real world. And I encourage you not only buy one for yourself, but Christmas is right around the corner. It makes a great Christmas gift. You know, buy a copy for your mom. Buy a copy for your best friend. Buy a copy for your crazy liberal friend who believes this nonsense. Or even better, buy a copy for your kids or your grandkids so they can understand the poison that people are trying to indoctrinate them with. I wrote this book to be a battle plan, to be a useful tool for how we can fight back, how we can save our country.
And college students, buy a copy for your professor and, you know, wrap it up.
Excellent
and,
idea.
And put it on their desk. All right. So, Ted, what do we do? What is the path forward? Because I think that the hour is late. As you said, that long march through the institutions that began six decades ago is almost complete.
Yes. It is. And I lay out basically three sets of tools to fight cultural Marxism. Set number one is sunlight and transparency. The ideas of the radical left are wildly unpopular. Normal, rational people don't support abolishing the police. They don't support open borders. They don't support surgically mutilating and castrating little children. They don't celebrate the atrocities carried out by Hamas terrorists. The only way the left stays in power is by hiding them, by using force and power, and by indoctrination. So shining sunlight is powerful. And for example, taking back K through 12 institutions, I talk about what happened in Loudoun County, where a teenage girl was sexually assaulted by a boy wearing a skirt in the girls' bathroom. The school board suppressed it, denied it, put their ideology above the children's safety. And that resulted in it woke people up across Virginia. Moms got ticked off. And Virginia went from in 2020 voting for Biden by 10 points, being bright blue, to flipping the year later and electing Glenn Youngkin a Republican in 2021 because moms were furious and wanted to take their school boards back. And by the way, I'm getting involved in school board races all over Texas, and we're winning victory after victory because sunlight is powerful. That's right. Tool number one. Tool number two is changing the cost-benefit analysis for the players here to increase the costs of going woke. So, for example, with big business, I talk about what happened with Bud Light and what happened with Target, where those woke executives put their political agenda over the customer's interest, tried to jam it down their throats, and the result was staggering. Both companies lost tens of billions of dollars in market cap. We need to increase the cost, the negative side of going woke. And then the third thing that I suggest is conservatives and libertarians with resources who've been successful in business need to invest in the organs of transmission of ideas. For too long, we've ceded ideas to the left. Go buy a TV station, buy a radio station, buy a movie studio, buy a book publishing house, buy a record label, engage in the battle of ideas. And the model I point to for this is Elon Musk's purchase of Twitter, which I think is the most consequential step for free speech in decades.
We cannot stand on the sidelines or be spectators in the stands and say, well, you know, man, this is bad. This is bad. We've got to get on the field. And I think you're absolutely right. The example you used of what's happening in education where parents have gotten involved, part of that silver lining being the COVID, where parents had to for the first time exposed to what their kids were being exposed to. And you're absolutely right. What happened in Loudoun County was a catalyst for changing that entire state of Virginia. So it's right where you are. What is before you, the opportunity that you have to make a difference right where you are?
That is exactly right. The power of sunshine and engagement is really significant. And we can't leave fighting to take these institutions back to someone else. It is our responsibility. You know, you made reference to the long, slow march of institutions through institutions. I lay out in the book Unwoke the history of that. In the 1960s, Marxists in America were using violent revolution. So, for example, you had the Weather Underground trying to blow up the Pentagon. You had the 1968 Democrat National Convention, violent riots, and they saw the American people recoil from that. And Marxist thinkers very deliberately said, all right, for America, we need a different strategy. And they called it, the phrase you just used, the long, slow march through institutions. They said, we're going to infiltrate them from the inside and we're going to flip them. But their continued power is dependent on keeping it secret. What you're doing, right, what Family Research Council does, of letting people know is the first step to turning it around.
That's right. Senator Ted Cruz, always great to see you. Unwoke, How to Defeat Cultural Marxism in America. Folks, go out and get a couple of copies and share the good news. Ted, good to see you.
Great to see you, Tony. God bless.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us. I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.